Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Alrighty, stop being so friendly, just go and sit down now. Well, it is great to be home. We just had a couple of weeks away, which was much needed and greatly enjoyed. So it was just some quality time with the family. And we had a few days in Singapore, then we went to Vietnam for about 11 days. And it was just a great experience, quality time with the family and just some of those great experiences. Just seeing some of the countryside and meeting some beautiful people, having a great time and some great experiences with the family was great. And it was just so good to be home. I mean, after being in that kind of heat, 30 plus degrees for 2 weeks, not to rub it in, I'm just saying it is cold in Melbourne, but it is winter, so why are we complaining? I'm not complaining, I'm just stating a fact. But it is good to be home, and just thank you to everybody that just did whatever you did to keep church going and growing, and we should go away more because church grows when we go away, so we might make a habit of it. But it is good. Who knows that it's actually good to go away and have a holiday, have a break? If you haven't done that for a while, I encourage you to do that. Make it a priority in your world to do that. Just wanted to just quickly mention, next Sunday is something that we haven't done before in the life of this church in terms of a pledge giving Sunday towards our global perspective, our the missional part of our church. And, you know, we outlined briefly a few weeks ago just how some of our finance works in regards to giving and supporting our mission project, particularly in Malawi, because that's not tax deductible in that sense. And so 10% of everything that comes into the life of Compass Church week in, week out gets allocated towards the mission component of what we do, which is, again, significantly our project in Malawi, which we have a team going in the first 2 weeks of August. And so there is 10% of our finance goes towards that. And so we're wanting to expand and continue the building project and the school/orphanage that we're wanting to develop in Malawi in Lilongwe, the capital city. So our pledges will go towards that. Giving specifically towards that, as I said, is not tax deductible. If you want to support Compass Community Care, which we saw a little bit of the fruits of this morning, and we're looking to start providing a meal out of our offices on a Sunday afternoon or an appropriate day in the week where there is a great need at the moment. You wouldn't think so in middle-class, city of Glen Ira, but there is a lot of people in need. And there are organisations currently having and running meals, but there are days where meals are not being served. So we see there's a real gap in need for that, and we're looking at how we can meet that need. And so you're giving towards, in your pledge next week, if you want to allocate that specifically towards Compass Community Care or our support, as we heard of Artie within Scripture Union and the chaplaincy program there, and we'll give you an update on that in the coming weeks as well, what's happening, an update with that, which is cool, then that is tax deductible. And so just wanted to really clearly outline that. Now, you've got to realise that if we have a month of generosity where everything that comes into the church is given away, you know, that's 8.3% of our annual income that we give away, then 10% of what comes in for the rest of the year we give away, you know, you're looking at sort of 18.3%. Then on top of that, there's other giving that we give that we feel we have a mandate to do as a church throughout the year. When I sat down with our accountant and they did the audit as we do each year, excuse me, it's generally on average that we as a church give away between 30 to 32% of our annual income to various things. Now, if you think about that from a household perspective, how would you go if you were to give 30 to 32% of whatever came into your household away each year? Now, I know people that do that and they're not on massive wages or anything. That's just what they choose to do. But the majority of us probably can't afford to do that. I mean, the 10% that we give is a tithe that we believe is belongs to the Lord, and that's what is God's, and then our giving over and above that. So, you know, when you look at it from a budget perspective as a church, you know, we are an incredibly generous church, and yet God has just been amazing and faithful to us that we've been able to. We're not in debt. We're in a strong financial position. And so, you know, I just wanted to present the facts to you this morning that we're a generous church, and our pledges next week, you know, don't think to yourself you don't need to give because we're a generous church. Don't be a... I won't say that word. Don't be tight. leave it at that. But, you know, there is so much more that we could do. And as I said, next week is the first time we've asked people to prayerfully consider giving a pledge each month towards our global perspective. So please be praying about that. Oh, thank you. Bit of a frog furball in my throat. So please be prayerfully considering, you know, what you would like to give over and above your normal giving to our global perspective. And think about where you'd like to specifically allocate that to. Or you might just go, hey, look, just use it for wherever it's really needed. And we'll be able to allocate that finance throughout. If you have any questions about our Giving Pledge Day next week, in fact, if you ever have questions about finance, we have an open book policy at Compass. You know, nothing is hidden. Everything is transparent and open and accountable. So feel free to come and ask questions anytime you like about what we do with our money and the finance area of our church. So there you go. Just something for you to think about and pray about this coming week. So the message today is all I got when I was praying for the word this morning was that scripture out of Acts 3:19, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, will come from the presence of the Lord. And that just kept coming back to me. I was just, you know, just praying about it. And it's just times of refreshing. And I know it ties in so nicely to just having a holiday and stuff, but I really felt like it's an appropriate thing for me to speak on this morning. Now, let me just backtrack, like, you know, before you need refreshing, maybe there are sort of certain signs in your life that you know that you need refreshing or that you need a holiday. So before I left, I sort of outlined that I know when I need a holiday. There are certain sort of triggers and little red flags that go off in my life where I just go, ooh, I need a holiday. Does anyone ever recognize that in your own life, that you know when you get to a certain point when you kind of really begin to lose tolerance with people? Maybe you're like that all the time, but when I begin to, not looking at anyone in particular on the back row, but, you know, when you get a little bit short and you get a little bit, I'm not talking about height, I'm just talking about abrupt, short, and yes, some of you are like that all the time, but when you get just short and abrupt and you're kind of just getting impatient, you lose your passion, focus, you know, there's lots of different ways that, you know, our body and our mind tell us that we need a break and we need a holiday. But, you know, Acts 3, if you've got your Bible, Acts 3:19, and this is our verse that we're going to focus on just for a little bit today. And I want to take a look at some practical elements that you can take away today to think about how you can maybe take care of yourself and keep yourself in a good space, but also when it comes to spiritually, some keys that are outlined in this scripture alone of how we can experience times of refreshing from the Lord, because we all certainly need it. So Acts 3:19 in the New Living Translation says this: "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord." Another version says, "Repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The Message version says, "Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessing to refresh you." So refreshing in Scripture is, you pick it up particularly through Psalms, and you pick it up through Isaiah, and you pick it up through the Song of Songs. There's this message that we get this idea that God is wanting to refresh and energize and revitalize his people and protect them and prevent them from harm in the first place. But if they do lose their way a bit and get a little bit run down or a bit wayward, he wants to bring them back into the right space and right zone and certainly bring a refreshing into their hearts and minds so we can experience and live life to the full. Because God's purpose for you is for you to live your best life. And he knows what that is better than what we know. So it's important that we stay in tune and in touch with him. And there's this theme throughout Scripture we see in the Song of Songs: "He brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love." There's this idea that he wants to gather us close to him, draw us near to him, and refresh and encourage and exhort us and edify us so that we can live our best life. Even the well-known Psalm 23, it says, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So even in the midst of the hardship, God goes, hey, if you draw near to me, I it's almost like I'm going to bring you to a banqueting table. I'm going to prepare a beautiful table for you, even in the midst, so you can have some solace, some respite, some comfort, some peace. In the midst of the chaos that's going around and as the world and pressure of life is coming in upon you, I want to create within the midst of that a place that is safe and secure, where you can be refreshed and restored. And it's something that only God can give. I'm talking about a refreshing that only God can give. As I said, I'm going to touch on some practical elements of how we can take care of ourselves. But the real crux of this message today is that God is the only one that can bring the kind of refreshing that we really, really need. It can't come from any other source. And so just some practical elements to this. You know, they say that what life is like... Yeah, Forrest Gump. Well, life is like a box of chocolates. No, you know, my first picture up here, life is like that. Right? Now, this is actually, I can't remember whether it was actually Artie that took me through this one time, and we were talking about life and how life can be like this. Our lives are like a vessel, and in the top, if you take the lid off, it can be filled up. But as you'll notice down the bottom there, there's a tap. And you turn that tap on and stuff's going to drain out. And energy levels and just passion and enthusiasm and just life comes along and life can be draining. Has anyone ever found that? All right, so basic point here is that in life we should recognize the things that drain us and know what they are, and we should know and understand, recognize the things that replenish us or top us back up. So just think about it. Just what are some of the things for you that drain you? Don't yell out any names. Some of you was just banged straight away. You just thought, hey, yeah. If you think about your drainers, it's important that we identify the drainers in our life. I mean, for me, it is things like admin and having to get focused on details and all those little detail schmetail stuff, you know. Like, some of you are shaking your head at me, and I know I've got issues, but, you know, just... You know, getting bogged down in admin and detail. No, it's just draining for me. Yeah. It's a kind of... I'm glad we're saying amen and yeah, it's good at all the right places. And there's certain parts of my role as there is certain parts of your role. I mean, okay, let me give you an example. Who here just loves taking the rubbish out every Thursday night or whatever night? You just love it. What is wrong with you, man? No, I mean, what I'm saying is, no matter where you're at, life, business, work, you know, in every part of life, there's going to be stuff that's just, you just got to do, but you don't enjoy. And then there's stuff within your job that, you know, can just be draining. I mean, I've got stuff within my role that's draining. Some of the things that I'm privileged to be invited into, some of the situations and people's circumstances, it's a privileged position, but it's just draining. Because I know I'm called to care, but not to carry. But I'm human, and because I do care, I sometimes carry more than what I should. And so that can be draining in my life. And it's not directed at any person. It's just reflection of the hardship that people go through, and I care. And so dealing with that, so that's a drainer. There are certain relationships, and it's none of your business who they are. And there's no one in this room that it accounts for, so you're all okay. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me for what I just said. Amen. No, just joking. Just joking. Just joking. No, but there are just people in your world that they are just, they're drainers. Wow. Yeah. We won't go there. We won't go there. We've just had a great holiday and we love each other. We do actually. I love her more now than I ever have. No, but it's... Anyway. Oh, now I'm in trouble because I've said that. Anyway. But there are certain relationships that, you know, they are just in life. And there are certain people sometimes that we don't have a choice whether we are in relationship with them because they're just part of our immediate world in one way or another. And so we just got to work out how do we deal with that. And that can be draining. What about this one? Dwelling on and thinking about things that you know you can't change. Man, that's draining. Isn't like just thinking just so draining sometimes? when you think about circumstances, particularly when it's an unjust set of circumstances, when you have been wrongfully accused or blamed for something or a situation's gone south, and you can totally just go, I don't know what I did. And there's nothing you can do to change it. You try to go through the process of reconciliation, but it just draws a blank and you're left. And then those times when you're sort of hanging out the washing or you're mowing the lawn, suddenly your mind just starts to go crazy. And I, no offense, but females are so much better at this than guys. It's one of the things that ladies are so good at, of overanalyzing and creating scenarios that will probably never happen. And there's just, and there's, oh, wow. He says that from the safety of the back row. You got to deal with my wife after, by the way, too. But I mean, there's so much emotional and psychological energy goes into thinking, and it can just be draining. What about taking on stuff God didn't ask you or doesn't expect you to do? We take stuff on board. Sometimes we have expectations of ourselves that God doesn't have expectations of. I'm not saying we shouldn't have high expectations, but we should really think, hang on, is this something that God expects of me? And we judge ourselves more harshly than what God judges us. He didn't come into the world to condemn or judge. He came into the world that may be saved through him. Jesus didn't come to judge and condemn. He came to bring life and life to the full, lead you into relationship. And so trying to understand why certain things aren't happening and why whatever, and last year was a big kind of turning point for me in my own spiritual walk, where it was like, you know, having that conviction of call and what God has called me to do brings a great sense of security and release and comfort and stability and clarity in my life, knowing that this is just what God has called me to do. Therefore, I lose the luxury of choice and I'm just going to get on with it and I'm just going to have fun doing it. So if you want to have fun, hang around. Just be a part of this church. And if you don't like me, too bad you're stuck with me. Go somewhere else because I'm here and I'm happy about that. There's great stability and security that comes with that. But when we get caught up, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's draining. You ever notice when you're trying to make a decision about a big area of your life, how it just sort of causes unrest in every other part of your life? In other relationships, you're on edge, you're not focused, you're not present, you're not there because you're sort of distracted by something over here and yet every other area of your life. A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. It's draining. Maybe you can think of your own things that are draining. In fact, I encourage you to just do that right now. I'm going to give you 15 seconds just to think about things in your life that are drainers for you. It's important that you identify them. So these are the things that suck the life out of you. What about the other ones? Let's get onto a more positive note. The refreshers, the things that top you up. Here are some things that came to mind for me that are refreshers for me. Stop and reflect on his blessings in your life. Count your blessings, mercies. They're new every morning. Isn't it good when you sit down and you actually go, not in a morbid way, but you just go, hang on a sec, let's get some perspective on this. As we're going down on this boat to go have a look at the Mekong Delta, we're going past these buildings that people had built out of corrugated iron, propped up on little bits of wood, and that's their home over the Mekong River. And you go, as soon as it floods, their home gets... And I'm just going, oh, God, I am so ridiculously blessed. And when we sit down and think, God, I am so blessed... We can say, not in a morbid way, but there's always somebody that's going through something worse than what I'm going through. And is it worse off or has gone through worse than what I have? And I can sit here and I can be grateful and so blessed. That's a refresher for me. It says in Psalm 92:10, but you have made me as strong as a wild bull. How refreshed I am by your blessings. Psalm 119:65 says, Lord, I am overflowing with your blessings just as you promised. Just to stop and think about his blessings in your life will refresh you. Another one is be others focused. Be others focused. In Acts 20 verse 35, speaking of Jesus, he said it's better to give than to receive. You see, when you act out of your gifts and serve, when you do that selfless act, it brings a joy and reward that's difficult to explain. And there's scientific studies that have proven that there is a greater amount of endorphins and the chemicals released in the brain when people give as opposed to when they received a present. Isn't that interesting? Science, again, proves that Scripture is true. that Jesus again is proven right. And it's like being others focused, looking outside yourself. So when I start to get frustrated sometimes, I try to not just dwell on the frustration. I go, how can I serve somebody? How can I bless somebody? How can I send somebody an encouraging SMS or an encouraging email? What can I do for somebody else? And it gets my focus off of myself and I start to shift it onto others. Another thing that will bring refreshing is know your gifts and talents. Know what they are. And if you don't know what they are in your life, we're here to help you discover that. But knowing what they are means that you can start to live and operate in those, and then comes that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction when you start to use your gifts and talents. Because you'll stand before God for what you have been given. You won't stand before God for what you haven't been given. Don't try and be somebody else or do somebody else's thing. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Being you is the best you that you can be. Don't try to be somebody else because that's already taken. Just be yourself. Discover who it is that God has called you to be. And practically, you've got to know and identify what is it that refreshes you. What are the practical things that refresh you? I mean, we should identify them and then we should prioritize scheduling them into our life. For example, we should be intentional about the worship and the Word of God. So Sunday mornings for me, it's not an option. I you might find this hard to believe, but I actually want to be here. It's like, Nat doesn't have to go, Phil, we've got to go to church today. And I don't lay there and go, I don't want to go. She goes, you have to go. No, I don't want to go. Phil, you have to go. You're the senior pastor. You've got to go. She doesn't have to do that. And sometimes I wish I could get rid of the pastor title and label so that people would see me just for who I am and what I would like to think is a genuine love and passion for Jesus Christ, that I just love being here with you guys. I love worshiping. I love experiencing and encountering your friendship and relationship and the sense of community that's building within the life of this church, and experiencing God's presence when we begin to worship and honor him and praise him. So we make it a priority. So it's about prioritizing these things. Some other things for me, as I said, worship times and spending time with Jesus, just me and him hanging out, whether that's walking and chatting with him or running, just being at a cafe, reading his word, prayer and fasting. As I said before, you know, fasting isn't one of those things that you just feel like doing. You know, so it's like, yes, I'm fasting 21 days soon. Awesome. I just so feel like it. I don't think so. Like I said before, sometimes we've got to base our life on our beliefs, which is the Word of God, and we begin to walk according to that, and then the feelings will start to come. Because too often we get distracted by our feelings and we start walking contrary to our beliefs, and then that then feeds the feelings that we've got, because then the devil comes along and throws in guilt and condemnation. And so it's just like this vicious cycle, but we've got to kind of like start to walk according to our beliefs, then the feelings will come. Like the great theologian Bono said, you know, some things have to be believed to be seen. So it's not about how I feel, it's what do I believe? And that's how I'm going to walk. Some other things that energize me is my family, hanging out with my family. Yeah. Oh, great food. And hanging out with my family, hanging out with my wife. I chose the photo, not Nat. Okay. Don't you like that photo? Ha, 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 ha. You all laugh, but I guarantee you, whenever you see a photo of a group of people, who's the first person you look for? Yeah. Yeah, see? Some of you just go, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Liars. So I'm not the only one. Anyway, let's move on to the next photo. This is something else that I love to do. I love to surf. Next slide. There isn't a next slide. Okay, you can take that off, because But for me, surfing is one of the quickest ways for me just to unwind, relax, and just chill out. I feel so refreshed after I've been for a surf, and other things like exercising, doing the gardening, just odd jobs around home, and just switching off, and just having tasks and projects that I can do where I get an instant result, because a lot of what I do, there isn't instant results in it. So to be able to get out there, get the lawns and the edges done, the garden tidy, it was a little bit messy, but now it's all like just looking fantastic, and it's just a great sense of just switching off for me. Hanging out with friends and family and having dinners and chilling out, having coffee and stuff like that is stuff that energizes me. So just as you've thought about the drainers, what is it that refreshes you? Think about that. Just think of three. Can you think of three? When you've thought of three things that refresh you, just put your hand up so that I know that everybody's listening. Three things that refresh you. Keep your hands up because not everybody's hands up, so... It's one of those interactive sermons. Some people hate those. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, now let me ask you, think about those three things. How much of those three things have you done in the last month? Any of them? None of them? All of them? Do you get what I'm saying? It's great to identify what your drainers are, but you need to know what your replenishers are and schedule them in. I used to write in my diary, a meeting with Paul. Not this Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it used to be like just having a time scheduled in my diary where it was just like, no one's going to mess with that time in my diary because people don't mess with the diary. If they say, hey, can we catch up? And you go, look, I'm sorry, I've got an appointment. It's usually a really desperate or rude person that will go, we'll change it, I'm more important. It's true, isn't it? So if you go, I'm sorry, I've got an appointment that I can't change, they're going to take note, go, well, let's make another time. But do we prioritise those things? So there's some practical things that may help you in terms of just staying just a little bit refreshed. But what I want to get to in the next 10 minutes is just talking about these times of refreshing that come from where? Come from where? What does that verse say? Comes from where? The what of the Lord? The presence. The presence of the Lord, times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. So we're talking about someone's being in someone's presence. I remember a pastor, I was a youth pastor, and his sister, my senior pastor's sister, was a journo with the Australian, I think it was, and she was following President Clinton when he came to Australia on his presidential tour, and she said this statement. She said, like, he's got such a great presence about him. He's just this charismatic person. He's got presence. You ever heard it said that about someone? They've just got presence about them. When they walk in the room, they're just noticeable, their presence. So we're talking about coming into the presence. We know that Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is crucified, he's buried, he's raised from the dead, he ascends to be at the right hand of the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit, God's presence, to be here with us all the time. So we're talking about coming into, intentionally into, the presence of God, being in God's very presence. Are you with me? You know, now that's something we should never take lightly, and we've spoken about that. We're talking about times of refreshing that come from being in the presence of the Lord. Now, I believe that God's presence is where we belong. There is something incredible about the presence of God. It's something that I yearn for. It's something that I, as I'm getting older and my walk with Christ is developing, that it's just more and more, I just want to be in God's presence. It's indescribable. The words to try to kind of explain what being in the presence of God, it's hard to describe it, isn't it? It's hard to explain. What is it like? I was sitting on the plane going from a flight from Singapore to Ho Chi Minh City, and I began to listen to the song that we played this morning, Waiting Here for You. And I'm just waiting here for you. And just, it was like the presence of God was just there in that plane. And I've got the headphones on. I've cranked it up as loud as I possibly could. And I'm just sitting there, and I just started to weep. I just started to cry, and I just put my heads down, put the tray table thing down, and put my hand, and I just said, oh, my God, you are so amazing. Here I am at 35,000 feet, and I'm listening to this song, and your presence, and it was just, it's just indescribable. The presence of God is where we belong. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. There is fullness of joy. It's we can just come and we can just get lost in his presence. Presence is where we position ourselves for an encounter with God and his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says that instead, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is in the presence tense. So we can come into his presence. And the loving, great God that we have is just wanting to pour and to fill us up and refresh us and encourage us and strengthen us for the week that we've got ahead. Sunday is not the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. I need this time with you guys. I need this time with God to get through the week that I've got ahead of me. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. There's that opportunity to have an encounter with the creator of the universe. In his presence, there's a reminder of the victory that's been won through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We come in and we just start to get a sense that there is this, we're more than conquerors. We are more than victorious through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There is a sense of hope for now and for all eternity that we're going to spend all eternity in his presence. Psalm 84, a great psalm, says, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rain will clothe it with blessings. So when we come into his presence, we get reminded of the victory and the hope that we have in him. Presence, there is healing and forgiveness. In his presence, there's a place of rest from stress, worries, and burdens, and so we can cast all of that. But in his presence, there is also the active side of it. Our role of participation in his presence is that we're called to come and just lay everything down and surrender everything and to hunger and to thirst after him, to say, God, I need you more. Because it's a reality that we're human beings, that we walk out of this place and we go to the pressures of life and we get tempted or we stumble or we trip and we fall or we leave this place full of his spirit and empowered, but then life and just comes along and we just start to get a bit beaten down and a little bit beat up, and we need to come back into his presence and just hang and say, God, please fill me again. I need more of you. I'm desperate for you. I need you in my life. The two things we see here that are prerequisites for entering into the presence of God for a time of refreshing. Number one, we see in Acts 3:19, it says, repent first. We're called to repent. And I thought it was a bit weird. Why do I have to preach about repentance? First one's repent. The second one is turn to God. I'm thinking, we as a church, do we need to repent? And I just felt the Holy Spirit, yes, says some of us, including myself, we just need to repent of certain things in our lives. We need to repent. It's so easy to hand God the easy stuff and the good stuff in our lives, isn't it? But I think sometimes we get caught up in an eBay spirituality. It's like, you know what? Yeah, the good stuff I'll hand over to God. But, you know, God says, I want you to surrender everything. But we just go, you know what? Sorry, I said that wrong. It's easy to hand God the bad stuff. When we just go, look, all this crappy stuff in my life, I'll give you that. But it's the good stuff that's hard to hand over to God sometimes. And we go, God, you know what? I'll hand this over to you, provided that there's the right kind of return for me, or it's going to be replaced by something even better. And so as long as the reserve is met on my good stuff that I hand to you, you can buy it now, God, but provided I get something better back. But God says, no, I'm just asking for everything. And I know that when we surrender everything to him, we lose nothing, but we gain so much more. That's been my experience. So we're called to repent. And I like the way that this Sunday school girl puts it. It means feeling sorry enough to quit. Repentance means feeling sorry enough to quit. It's not a matter of I'm sorry because I got caught or just simply I feel terrible. But it's true repentance is admitting that what God says is true, and because it's true, to change our mind about our sins and about the Saviour. Understanding that God's truth is so great that we just go, you know what? I've got to give up my way of doing things. I've got to give up the good, the bad, the ugly. I've got to hand it all over to him and say, God, here am I. Take everything. God, I know that I've fallen short of your perfect standard in this area of my life. I'm going to give everything over to you. I'm going to hand it over to you, and I'm going to now walk not in the way that I was before, but I'm going to walk in the opposite direction to where I was. I'm going to walk according to your ways. So we're called first to repent and turn to God. yes, God, I'm sorry, and I want to walk a different way now. My eyes are going to be changed and fixed upon Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I'm going to walk my life that way. And I had to ask myself, what areas of my life do I need to repent from? What areas, what attitudes, what thoughts? And some of the things that came to mind were some of those relationships in my life that are drainers. Because I've allowed some of my attitudes to develop and form. And I go, I'm fine. I'm okay with it. But in that moment, sitting on the plane in the presence of God, I just went, oh my goodness. Man, I've got to get this right. I've fallen so short with this stuff. God, this is not how you designed and desire relationships to be. God, I've got to get this right. I'm so sorry, God. And I just, God, I don't want to keep walking that way. Because we can choose to go on whatever train of thought we decide. We can choose to go on God's train of thought, or we can choose to go on our own train of thought. More often than not, my trains of thought end up in a train wreck. God's train of thought takes me to the destination where I need to be. My train of thought, I know the bridge is busted and Zorro ain't coming to help me. The Lone Ranger ain't coming to help me. This train's going, woo, if I keep going down that train of thought. I'm going to say, I'm not going down that train of thought. I'm not going that direction. I am going to repent. God, I am so sorry. I'm going to start going and heading towards where you want me to be and where you want me to go. So as we close this morning, is there an area of your life that you just need to just repent? I don't know why God's asked me to preach on this, but I'm believing if not for anyone else, it's for me. But maybe there's an area of your life that you need to go, wow, I just got to get this right. God, I got to lay it down at your feet. I just got to repent of this stuff and I just got to hand it over to you and receive your forgiveness and your grace. And now I'm going to turn to you and start following you. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe this morning that the kind of refreshing that I'm talking about, that's indescribable, that's something that only that God can give, truly comes when we follow this simple principle of just repenting and turning to God. Then we can enter His presence and experience times of refreshing. Maybe there's just an area of your life that you've been holding back from God, or just going, well, this is fine. I don't need God in this area of my life or this part of my life. You need to repent of that. Just lay it down before Him this morning. Take your eyes off the circumstance and turn your eyes towards Jesus. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence in this place this morning. You are a perfect, holy, just God, and we've all fallen short of your perfect standard. And it's by your grace that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem and to restore us back to yourself. And Father, you know that we're human and things come into our life and we can become distracted. We can just slowly begin to slip into us wanting to take control, us slipping into temptation, us slipping into sin. You know full well that that happens. And yet again, out of your grace and your mercy towards us, you provide the way for us to come back to you. And you ask us to repent, to be truly sorry and to turn away from that action, from that temptation, from that sin, to receive your forgiveness and then to turn fully towards you with our whole life. I pray that we as a church would be like that. That we'd be honest enough with ourselves. Honest enough with you, Father. We'd come before you to repent, turn to you. And Father, I thank you that you're a gracious God, that you want to bring times of refreshing into people's lives in this room this morning. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, If you've never taken that initial step to start a relationship with a loving, caring God, God's provided the way for all of us, for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you can't say, Phil, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I'm living my life for him. If you can't say that, if you've never made your peace with God, then today is your day. And it's simply doing what I've been talking about here this morning. That is to repent, being sorry for the wrong that you've done, and desiring to turn in the opposite direction and start walking in a new and living way, according to God's way, God's standard, as outlined in his word. And he'll give you the strength to do that. If you've never done that, but you would like to do that, as no one's looking around, can I just ask, just raise your hand. After this service is finished, I'd love to pray with you and just let you know how this relationship with God can get started and grow and flourish. Is there anyone here today who say, Phil, that's me. I want to start that relationship with God. I want to live my best life. I want to experience life and life to the full. Just raise your hand so I can see. Is there anyone here today? Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Best decision you'll ever make. Is there anybody else this morning? Thank you, Lord. Can I just ask us all to stand just as we close the service this morning? We're just going to pray a simple prayer for the person that raised their hand this morning. And this morning, actually, if you've been challenged in some way about an area of your life that you need to repent of, then why don't you pray this prayer too? We're all going to pray it, but if that relates to you, just pray this prayer with all your heart. So that's what God looks at. He looks at our heart. And so, especially for the person that raised their hand, but for those that feel a little bit challenged this morning, just pray this with all your heart after me. Dear Lord Jesus, let's all pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I know I've fallen short of your perfect standard. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, and that you rose again. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come and be Lord of my life. Come and be my best friend. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, this morning, just thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that your grace is sufficient for us when we fall short. And Lord, if we're willing to come before you in honesty and lay it all bare before you, repent and turn to you and follow you, then God, your word says that times of refreshing will come. And I thank you that as people this morning have prayed this prayer, Lord God, that times of refreshing are coming their way right now. That even as we stand here, Father God, you're going to put the wheels in motion, Father God, for a shift and a change in their world. There's going to be a refreshing, re-energizing, fresh focus, Father God, fresh vision, a fresh perspective, Father God. The problems and the issue won't look bigger than you, but God, you're going to take your rightful place and you will become bigger in their lives because our God is greater. So, Father, I pray this morning, bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Bless our coming and our going. Lord God, and maybe we be used for your glory's sake this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.